Today on Brave, a lesson on Colossians chapter 3 from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
And in these first four verses of the chapter, he begins to unveil for us what it looks like to live the new life of Christ. And he gives us four ways to do that, four ways that living the new life involves. And as you're thinking about this, much like I tell you in every sermon, there may only be one tweak you need to make of the four. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the ways in which you need to be able to live the new life.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. One of the greatest promises in Scripture is that once you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become a new creation. But many believers today feel frustrated, wondering when the new life they've been promised will finally come to fruition. Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff teaches us how to go from understanding the gospel to truly experiencing it. It's part of our current series in the book of Colossians called Focused. And remember, if you miss any part of these daily programs on the radio, or you'd simply like more information about Brave, head to bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff to introduce his latest message, Living the New Life.
Just by show of hands, how many came to Brave Church because they heard us on the radio? See all that? Praise God for that. Can we praise God for radio ministry? I was just told recently that our messages are downloaded, the messages we preach here on the weekend are downloaded about 12 to 14,000 times a week. That's how many people listen to the messages that we preach here. God has been doing an incredible thing. We're part of something that Jesus Christ is building, and we just want to be faithful because our God is so faithful. Amen. So with that, would you pray with me as we go before the Lord to hear His living and active word among us this morning? Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. Lord, we just tell you thank you, God. Lord, not because you're faithful, you've always been faithful, but we've seen your faithfulness at all sorts of new levels than we've seen before. And for that, we praise you. Not that you've changed, but that we've seen you in a greater way. And Lord, our prayer is that we would be faithful to you so that you could do your greatest work in and through us. Lord, so that one day, when everything is scaled back and we see it all, we would see the incredible work that you have continued to do in and through us here at Brave Church. And so now, Lord, we pray that as your word is faithfully proclaimed, Lord, that it would be accurate and clear, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak deeply to each and every one of us. Lord, that we'd be ready to believe what you say about yourself, that we'd believe what you say about us, and by faith we'd put into practice the very clear things that you show us to do. And for all God's people that are ready to hear and believe and to put into practice those things, agree with me. Would you very loudly say the word with me? Amen. Amen. I started this series in Colossians by telling you that I went to the eye doctor, and I told you that when I went to the eye doctor, I was for sure I was going to need to buy reading glasses, which I didn't want to buy because I didn't want to have to put them on every time I read the word and then take them off and put them on and take them off. And so I went to the doctor, and this doctor, she explained to me how she put different contacts in my eyes, and she corrected both in such a way that through one eye I see perfect 20/20, and through the other eye I see close 20/20. And I left the office and I thought, this is amazing. And she told me at the time, you'll be able to wear contacts well into your 70s. You are set. And so I said, fantastic. I was praising her. I was praising her schooling that she did. I was celebrating with people that knew me. I don't need to wear reading glasses. I don't need to wear glasses. I can still wear my contacts. This is awesome. 2 weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas and I had a really hard time seeing. I mean, I was having a really hard time seeing. We went to a prayer conference out there. I was there with my brother. We were there that night. It was kind of dark in the worship center. Everything looked a little hazy and blurry. I couldn't see clearly. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm like, I can't read this. I needed to make a call back, but then the office was closed. I didn't know what to do. We were busy for like 3 full days, and I was frustrated, and I was starting to think in my heart, maybe she's not as good as she said she was. Maybe she doesn't know what she's doing. You know, maybe I need to go to a different doctor when I get back home. And I started to get frustrated and angry because for 3 or 4 days now, I'm not able to see. So when I got home, I called the office and they said, well, look at your box. I said, okay. They said, which contact did you put in your left eye? And I said, well, she lowered it, so I put this one in. They go, you got the contacts in the wrong eye. Switch them. It was amazing. I switched them. I saw as good as I did the day she told me what to do. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because here the doctor told me exactly what to do. And yet, because I made a little mistake, I needed a tweak on what was going on. But instead, I'm blaming the doctor. I'm frustrated with my situation. I'm angry. I felt like something was overpromised and underdelivered. That's how many of us feel about the Christian faith. Many of us hear a pastor stand up and talk about how great the gospel is, or somebody shares the gospel with us one-on-one and tells us that all our sins are forgiven, and that not only that, but we have victory in Jesus, and we can live our lives to the full, and it's incredible, and God will heal relationships, and He'll grow your life. And then you walk out, and you're not experiencing that in your life, and you're saying, well, wait. That pastor lied to me. My friend's not telling me the truth. How come it's not working for me? It's not as clear as it was when I heard it the first time. What's going on? This is why Paul writes chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. Because all throughout this book, what we've been talking about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ died for our sins on a cross. That God the Father poured all His wrath on His Son. So that by believing in Jesus' death, all your sins can be forgiven. But I got good news for you too. Not only did Jesus die for your sins, not only did He destroy the work of the devil, but we said the good news is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the gospel is not complete with a death of Jesus on the cross and the death of Jesus in the grave. The gospel ends by Jesus Christ getting up out of the grave. What makes the gospel complete is that we believe in a resurrected Christ. And in order to believe in a resurrected Christ, we need to understand this Christ in us is alive, and there is work that He wants to do in and through us. And so in Colossians chapter 3, Paul begins to explain, how is it that you can live this new life in Christ? How is it that this gospel you were told, you can actually walk out? And so I'd like to begin that today as we look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to look at the first four verses here today. If you'd open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I'll read this, and then we'll take a look at some of the tweaks we may need to make in our Christian life if we're going to live the new life that God wants us to have. Here's what he says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. And in these first four verses of the chapter, he begins to unveil for us what it looks like to live the new life of Christ. And he gives us four ways to do that, four ways that living the new life involves. And as you're thinking about this, much like I tell you in every sermon, there may only be one tweak you need to make of the four, maybe two of the four, maybe all four. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the ways in which you need to be able to live the new life. The first one he talks about is this. He says living the new life involves a kingdom perspective. Living the new life involves a kingdom perspective. It's a new perspective. Notice what he says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, the if here, he's making the assumption that everyone he's been talking to in this letter has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you have, then you can read this verse, since you have been raised up with Christ. If you haven't trusted Christ, here is the message. The message is, you came here today, here's what God wants you to know. He loves you with an unconditional love so much that He came seeking you and looking for you. So much that while you couldn't get to God, He came looking for you. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He came here, born of the Virgin Mary, fulfilled the law, did all that it required, and what He did for you was something you couldn't do. He paid for all your sins. You see, the Bible says that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and even on your best day, you can't get closer to God. So what God did is He came to bring you closer to Himself. He died for all of your sins. He was buried in a grave. 3 days later, He got up out of the grave, demonstrating He was indeed God's one and only Son. And by believing in Him and Him alone, you may have life in His name. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not about getting religious. religion. It's not about joining a church. It's not about reading your Bible more. It's not about praying more. It is a free gift offered when you bring all your sin to Christ and say, I don't want my sin anymore. I want your life. And when you trust Christ and say, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, he comes in your life. When he comes in your life, we talked about last week, it involves complete forgiveness of sins. Also involves that your enemy is a defeated foe, and it also involves that the good news is not only that God saves you, but he comes to live in you. He indwells you with his very presence, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you've trusted in him, then here's what you say. Instead of therefore if, you would read it like this. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Now, some of you this morning didn't realize you've been raised up with Christ already. In the same way your sins are forgiven, you've already been raised up with Christ. And here's what he says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, what are things that are above? Like, what are the above things? It's the kingdom perspective. Think about these verses. I'll read some to you. You can write these down and look them up later. John chapter 8 and verse 23. Jesus talks about this. Jesus was saying to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. What's above? Above is the otherworldly place where Jesus Christ is from. Even in John chapter 19, when Jesus is talking to Pilate, he said to him, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above, right? What is he saying? He goes, everything that's happening is because my Father is in control of everything. And where's everything taking place? Above. How about in the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21. Ephesians 1 and 21. Here's what it says. As soon as I get there, I'll read it. Ephesians 1 verse 21. It says, in which he has brought about Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Well, where's that? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. We read in Colossians where he created all thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Who's above all that? Hey, he is. He's above. It means he has perfect authority. Ephesians 4:10 reads like this. He who descended is himself, also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And then we read in Philippians 2:9 that he was given the name above every other name. Do you get the idea here? When he's talking about above, he's talking about that authority, power, and kingdom. There's no one above Jesus. There's no one above God. There's no one above him. So here's what he says. He says, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above. What's that? That's a heavenly perspective. Why? Because Romans 6:4 says that you've been buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Because what happens is that the moment that you've trusted Christ, you've been buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. See, Jesus not only died, he rose. Now, we celebrate that every year on Easter. We talk about Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus Christ got up out of the dead, and we cheer and we applaud. But that's not like a one-time, let's just think about it once a year, Jesus is alive. It is a moment-by-moment, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour. The most significant news on the planet is our God reigns. Our God's alive, and he's above every ruler, authority, and power. And that's important that you see things from his perspective, that you see things from the way in which God sees things. Think about these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it talks about the resurrection so much. 1 Corinthians 15:3, it says this, for I delivered to you as of first importance. So here's what Paul says. Here's what I told you was the most important out of all my teaching. What did he say? As of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. What was the centrality of Paul's message and theology? It's Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is central to everything in the New Testament. Christ died for you, but Christ was raised. So seek Christ where he is. Have a kingdom perspective, right? Now, why is that important? Because we live in a world, when you get anxious and you get frustrated and you get mad or you think your Christianity is not working, oftentimes it's because you're looking from earthly perspective, trying to come up with earthly solutions, and you don't know what God sees looking this way. How many know perspective can make a huge difference? I mean, just this week, we as a staff on Wednesday, we had our Pastor's Appreciation Day, and we got to go up in a helicopter called Prayer One. We gathered here early in the morning. Nobody knew where we were going. We ended up at Centennial Airport, said we're going to fly a chopper over the city, and everybody got to do we got like four rides. Everybody got to do a 20-minute ride. So we flew from Centennial Airport at 500 feet, came over Brave Church, went down over the downtown, went over Coors Field, went over Mile High Stadium. We went over the whole thing, came back, and then we all gathered at the end, and we said, hey, what did you learn from this experience? And everybody had cool perspectives. Like, some people were like, as we were flying over the whole city, I realized what a small part I play in every little thing. Like, I don't even get around all that much. I drive to work and I drive home. Other people were saying, man, rightfully so, God knows the heart of every single person that's down there and cares about him incredibly. And other people were saying, you know what? As we were up there, like, this city's reachable with the gospel. Like, we can actually reach everybody here. And then there were people like me that was like, I need to get myself one of these things. That was awesome. It totally beats traffic. But the point is, we all had a different perspective, right? We all saw things differently. And when you're higher up and you're looking down, everything looks different. Brave Church is small. It's not that big. If we were 40,000 people, Brave Church would be small. Mile High Stadium looks small from perspective, right? Here's what happens. When we're living in the day-to-day, wherever we have, everything seems like a mountain. Everything can seem big. Everything can be overwhelming. But when we see things from God's perspective, we get a different view on things. And sometimes God will give us his perspective. That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, here's what we're praying. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying? Lord, from your kingdom agenda and from your perspective, what is it you're trying to get done? Bring that in and through the world through me, through us. This is what we're praying for you to do. Well, how do we know what God wants to bring if we don't see things through God's perspective? When things get challenging for us, we have a tendency to look for earthly solutions. When marriage gets tough, we look for an earthly person that can help us. When finances get tough, we look for an earthly person that can help us. When our health gets tough, we look for an earthly person that can help us. And while it may be helpful to have some of that, first and foremost, what do you need? You better have a kingdom perspective where you're going to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, what do you see in this situation? What are you trying to accomplish in this situation? How do you view this situation? If you were completely in my shoes, what would you do differently than what I'm doing? How would you think differently? How would you feel differently? How would you act differently? Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lord, what do you want to do here? That's a kingdom perspective. And oftentimes what happens is when people receive the gospel and the good news of salvation and they go out, they falsely expect my marriage is going to be perfect, my money's going to be perfect, my health's going to be perfect, my job's going to be perfect, my personal happiness factor is always going to be around 10 out of 10, and everything's great. And when it doesn't work, we think, what's wrong? Maybe I got lied to. Maybe no, you need a kingdom perspective. Like, what might God be doing in this situation? And God is willing to walk with you and give you answers for what you see. So no matter what happens, God wants you to hear it from his perspective. Why? Because when you understand God's perspective, you understand this. You're called to be an ambassador here. You're an alien here. You're a stranger here. And you're on mission here. Because the truth of the matter is, for every single person that lives on this planet, Matthew 28, 18 to 20 is true of you. What are you called to do? Like, why are you still here? Well, you're called because all authority is Jesus, and he's called you to go make and multiply and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. Whatever your vocation is, whatever your relationship influence is, whatever your sphere of influence is, you're called to make disciples. That's what we're all here for. Now, why do I need a heavenly perspective? Because I've heard people say stuff like this, man, that person's so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Personally, I've never met a person like that, okay? Secondly, it's not about being so heavenly minded we're of no earthly good. It doesn't mean I sit around and just daydream about going to heaven every day and can't wait to be there and complain about this world. It means I'm seeking the things of God from his kingdom so that I can live those values out presently in my current situation. That's why he says, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. Look at things that are above. Get a different perspective. Make sure when you're making decisions, you have God's perspective on what you have. Because if you just have worldly perspective, like all of us had these different perspectives when we rode in the helicopter, but they were very different from how we would have talked prior to being up in the air. And we were just at 500 feet. I got news for you. God's everywhere. 500 feet's not that high for God. Right? He sees things totally different. He sees all the way back through eternity past, all the way through to eternity future, and everywhere in between. And he's got perspective you can't even understand or begin to understand. And we need to be able to seek him for his kingdom perspective. Some of us here are frustrated in our walk with Christ because we become Christian. Christ is in us. The devil's destroyed, but we still live our lives with our perspective of what we think we need to do rather than seeking the perspective of God and what he wants to accomplish through us. Secondly, if you want to live the new life, it not only involves a kingdom perspective, a new perspective, but it involves a passionate pursuit. It involves a passionate pursuit of the Lord. Now, notice what he says in verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, if you have been raised or since you've been raised with Christ, watch this, keep seeking. Like, keep seeking. That's this continual pursuit, right? Some of us falsely think this. Well, I read in my Bible, Pastor Jeff, in Luke 19:10, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. It's his job to seek me. If he wants to change me, he can do it. If he wants to come after me, let him come after me. If he wants to see change in my life, that's up to Jesus. I haven't been convicted about that yet. You know, Jesus, if you want to get anything done, go ahead, just seek me, seek me, seek me. No, Jesus sought you so that you would seek him. Right, Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Like, go after God, pursue God, seek God. The Old Testament equivalent I find is in Psalm 27 where David is calling out to the Lord where he's asking for protection. And then Psalm 27:4, he says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I'm pursuing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. What was he saying? I want to pursue Christ. I want to pursue God. And can I tell you this? There's nothing passive about the pursuit of Christ in being a Christian. Christianity is not a passive faith. Let me say it again. Christianity is a passionate pursuit. There's nothing passive about being a Christian. Pastor Jeff, you're wrong on that. Have you not read your Bible? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You not read that passage? Okay, let me ask you this. How intentional do you have to be in your life to drown out all the noise and all the relationships and all the troubles and all the trials and all the things you're thinking just so you can spend 10 or 15 minutes of undivided time being still before the Lord, knowing that he is God and knowing that he'll be exalted among the nations? Does that just naturally happen or does that take some work? It takes incredible work.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, in the beginning of a message titled, Living the New Life. Today's lesson is from our series on Colossians called Focused, where we're learning to see God with more clarity and keep our attention on Christ. If you've joined us late or you'd like to hear another message from Pastor Jeff, visit bravemedia.online. And to access exclusive resources and faith-building opportunities, download the Brave Church app to your smartphone or mobile device. You'll be able to connect with our growing church community in a whole new way. Consider joining a Bible study, sharing prayer requests with our prayer team, signing up for service events, and much more. Learn how you can get involved with the Brave Church community by going to the App Store, searching for Brave Church Denver, and downloading this free resource today. And if you've been looking to find a new church home and be part of a community that will help you experience the fullness of Jesus Christ, we invite you to join us here at Brave Church. If you live anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit this Sunday at either of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster. We'd love to meet you in person and get you connected with our growing ministries and faith-based community. Or join us right from home wherever you are through our live stream. For more details and directions, head to bravemedia.online. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click the Brave Church button. And if you'd like to share questions or encouraging comments with Pastor Jeff, our email address is hello@bravechurch.co. Or write to us through the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Make plans to join us next week for part two of our message, Living the New Life. That's coming up here Monday on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.